This is AM 900 CHML. Good morning. I'm Shona Thompson. You are listening to the Smart Comfort Show, and it's brought to you by Insta Insulation. And you know, when I say it's brought to you by Insta Insulation, I really mean it, especially this month, because I think you have half the company here. Alex Schutz is joining us, and he is the man behind Insta Insulation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Shona.
You did bring half the company in today.
Well, we brought three of our key sales associates, or salespeople, with us, and we're happy to have them here. And I just want to give a broad view of who we are, and these guys are key to the business's success. And these guys are that make the calls every day on how to solve problems out in the field, right? So we have definitely consumer-based company, and we fix insulation issues, mold problems. We remedy issues in attics and basements and all kinds of places, and these guys are the front line to solving those problems.
So please introduce us to your team.
So we have Jason Sweeney here, who's in does the Halton region mainly, and gets into Toronto area and then helps Bruce occasionally. Trevor McPhee, again, mostly Halton, northern Toronto, or northern like Vaughan and Concord, that area, Woodbridge. And then we have Bruce Jackson, who is the gentleman that most people will recognize from, because he's been with us a long time, out of Hamilton, and Hamilton and Niagara Peninsula. So Bruce, like I said, a long time. The gentlemen definitely are knowledgeable, and we're happy to have him here.
Well, Bruce, why don't we start with you? Give me some of the background. Why did you choose to become involved with Insta Insulation, and how long have you been with the company?
Oh, I've been with the company for 10 years now. I'm in my 11th year, and my background really is customer service. I've been in the customer service industry for over 40 years. Alex and I have known each other for longer than the 10 years I've been there, but I like the company, so I applied and I got hired.
You know, I think it says a lot when your friend's outside of the company and then you start to work there. It says a lot about what you think about Alex and working for him.
Correct.
Trevor, why don't you give us a little bit of background about how long you've been with the company and what you do, what your experience is.
I've been with the company for about 7 years now, starting on the install side of it, both foam and attic cellulose. And then I moved up to this position, sales advisor, and everything's going great.
And Jason, you're some of your background.
Well, I've been with the company for close to 10 years now, and I started as an installer, spray foamer, and moved up into the what I like to call solutions advisor position.
Solutions advisor.
Well, that's what we do. We're a solutions-oriented company. I make no bones about it. We're in business because houses are built very poorly, and we go in and fix them. And I hope they never fix houses, because, you know, the more they mess them up, the more we can fix. And that's what we do. I mean, we do some new houses, and obviously we don't go back to get to fix those, because we do them right. And that's the basis of our business.
But when you go into a house, and I guess you're like the ministers of first impressions, because you're the face of the company. You go in to assess what a home needs and what the job is going to be. But I'm going to guess that when you get into the bones of a house, you may find that there are a couple of other problems as well.
Oh, absolutely. We find issues all the time when we go into homes.
What are some of the issues? What are some of the common ones? I'm thinking mold happens more than people would realize.
Mold happens quite a bit. Humidity levels inside the house get raised high, and then they want to condensate on the areas that are less insulated, where the colder areas are. And we help find those areas and point them out. Usually we just want to troubleshoot the customer's actual problem. So if a customer calls you and says, you know, I'm really cold inside my house, we want to isolate why are you cold, instead of, you know, just put more in, it makes it better. No, we want to find out why you're cold and solve that issue.
Yeah, speaking of calls, I just want to mention our phone lines are open for any questions that you might have. Maybe you're thinking about upgrading the insulation in your home, probably one of the best investments that you can make. You can give us a call at 905-645-3221. If you have an issue and you don't really know what's going on, this is a perfect opportunity for you to get some of that expert help that we have in here. Alex, you know, we were talking a little bit about mold. What are some of the other common problems when you go into a house that would be related to making sure the install of the insulation is right and is going to last a long time?
Well, the easiest one to solve, the comfort issues, most of the time, I would say it has to do with air leakage. Okay, if your wall's not, you know, if your walls is not leaking air, then you're not going to get that quick draft or that quick escape of heat. And then, therefore, you're going to have some more comfort. But air leakage, poor insulation, or not enough insulation, not a thermal break from the outside. So in the summertime, the heat's coming in. Obviously, in the wintertime, the heat's going out. So we want to make sure we stop that heat and create the comfort. The cycling of the furnace, right? A lot of times that thermostat is in the middle of the house, so it doesn't get cool quick, so that furnace doesn't cut in quick enough. So the outer rooms in your house won't be as comfortable as the center of the house, and therefore, you know, you need to address that. So back to Jason's point, where, you know, trying to find out where it's not comfortable, right? And all of our people are trained to kind of understand, or not kind of, but understand that it's just may not just be insulation, maybe a furnace issue or how the heat is getting delivered, right? And sometimes the solution is a twofold solution, right? Insulation, air sealing, a heat source, right? And we see that all the time.
You're talking about cold spots. This has not been a particularly cold winter, at least not so far. And I realize I'm probably tempting fate by saying that. How do you find those cold spots when it's not a deep freeze? I mean, when it's really cold outside, it's pretty obvious.
You know, it's tougher to find right now, but you still got a lot of wind, so you're still going to be uncomfortable, and there's still a volume of business coming through, even though it's not too cold. But really, our focus has really started to change, because with the higher with the energy prices going up and electricity costing more, we really need to do a better job of educating people, and people need to be aware that insulation is not just for the winter time; it's also for the summer. We got to keep the heat out. When we keep the heat out, the air conditioning is much more efficient, and that the actual cost of air conditioning can decrease more than your cost of what it is to heat. So there's a lot of savings to be had with trying to keep the heat out of your home in the summertime. Now, if you use the right insulation techniques like we do, like Instant Insulation does, then you will you'll see savings. And it's very important to understand what products to use and where to use them, because if you don't insulate properly, because our codes are meant for heating, not for cooling, right? The vapor barrier or the 6 mil poly that we put on the inside of the house is actually on the wrong side in the summertime. So now we have 5 months of cooling that we do, right? We have higher temperatures outside in the summertime, and we end up having condensation issues on the back of that poly, which is leads to a lot of mold. So by using products like spray foam Insulating Extreme, we can do a better job of insulating and keeping the heat or the moisture that comes with the heat at bay, and we don't contribute to those mold problems. That's really the in a nutshell, that's the way to do it. The benefit of spray foam over other products is that it's a one-step solution. Okay, with other products you need mastics, plastic, caulking, right, tape, all those things that don't take human error into account. When you test products, right, in the lab, it's easy to do it perfect. It's perfect, right? And I know Bruce is the master. He always says this, you know, a couple inches of spray foam remedy a lot of problems, right? Because you get the air seal and it's not going to condense on that surface. So moisture is not going to condense on that surface. So 10 years of experience, Bruce, you'd say that, you know, it's amazing, right? How we go troubleshoot something and we don't have callbacks on those, or we follow up with the customer. It's like, wow, amazing, right?
Well, this question is for the guys on the sales team, and whoever wants to jump in, please go ahead. When you show up at a home, take me through the process. What is it that you are looking for, and what do you need from the homeowner?
Well, when I stop at a house, the first thing I want to know is I want to know why you've called us. What's your meaning? Did you have an inspector look in your attic? Are you cold? Is you having cold bedrooms? Or are you calling us because your cost is just too high? These are determining areas where I want to start my investigation. So usually I want to start.
I'm guessing that last point is coming up more and more these days.
Cost is definitely, yeah. I find that most of the time if you're calling me about cost, I'm spending more time checking your attic insulation. More of our heat loss is through the attic insulation. When you're cold, and especially if you're isolated in certain rooms, I'm looking for air penetration points. Most likely it's your belts or your garage ceilings. When you have rooms over top, it's allowing cold air to enter and penetrate into the house. When we have these type of areas, it's easy to isolate them, find them, and come up with a solution of how to fix them.
Now, is that just based on your experience, or do you have meters and gadgets?
Well, we do have gadgets, okay? But those gadgets are can be misleading, and I know that other insulation providers do use thermal imaging and stuff like that. We have definitely some expensive cameras, and everybody, you know, has a chance to use them if they'd like to use them.
But you have to know how to read them.
You definitely know how to read them, and that's a great point, and that's why we bring them into the house and we show the homeowner. And you can tell the homeowner whatever you like. Okay, you could totally be misleading with them. We say to people, like, if you really want to pay for a thermal imaging, hire a company that thermally images and keep them separate from us, then we can tackle it. But because when we go to the house, we already know where the problems are. Okay, the little isolated issues on new construction, especially, like if you get into a century home, it leaks everywhere. Right? When you start,
it settled all over the place. Well, it wasn't properly constructed in the first place.
There's probably no insulation in 75 to 80, maybe 100% of the home has no insulation, right? Now we got to start keeping in mind, okay, the house was never meant to be insulated. How are we going to control the moisture flow in these homes?
Yeah, you can't just jump in and put a bunch of insulation in one area and leave the other areas uninsulated fully. The delta difference will be too great. So if one room's highly insulated and the other room's lower insulated, it'll cause issues.
Delta difference?
Sorry.
Well, the difference between the one room to the other. He's just saying there's one that's really well insulated, one's not. So really, the delta is just a difference. But
it's going to find the area of least resistance.
That's right.
Also, the age of your windows will make a big difference. And if a window was installed 20 to 25 years ago, nobody 20 to 25 years ago around the framework of the window used what we call window and door foam. They did what was called chinking, where they would chink insulation around it.
Yeah.
But that air just passes through
like
that.
Like taking
a chunk of bad insulation.
And a chisel and just shoving it in there.
That's right. And that doesn't work either, because the air will just seep right through you. That's another reason that the rooms are cold.
Yeah. I'm hearing the music. That means we're going to take a short break here on AM 900 CHML. This is the Home Comfort Show. It's brought to you by Insta Insulation. Any questions that you might have about making your life a little bit more comfortable, this is the time to call in and find out what the right information is and how you can do it and do it right the first time. Uh-oh. Did I borrow somebody's slogan there?
Yeah, you did.
Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. Please give us a call, 905-645-3221. We'll be right back. This is AM 900 CHML. I'm Shona Thompson, and I am here with a cast of thousands, and they're all from Insta Insulation. This is the Smart Comfort Show, which is brought to you by Insta Insulation. We have Alex Schutz, the man in charge, the boss guy, and he's brought in some members of his sales team. Bruce Jackson's here, Trevor McPhee, and Jason Sweeney, and we're talking about making your home a more comfortable place. And a more affordable place. And I think that issue has become more important in the last several weeks in particular. Cap and trade is coming. The carbon tax is here. Several hikes to other utilities as well. One of the smartest and long-term solutions you can do is by improving and upgrading the insulation and making sure your home is a really comfortable place to be. During the break, I heard you guys talking about attic bedrooms, attic rooms,
mm-hmm.
or I'm sorry, rooms over garage.
Yes.
Yeah. Why is that such a problem?
Well, mostly it's because when we heat a room underneath, the heat rises up through the floor, and the floor is warm, and we feel it above. The room that's over the garage does not have any room underneath, providing heat underneath us. So when we insulate the floor, all the heat that's coming into the room rises to the top of the room, and we walk across the floor, which is cold. That's what the problem is.
It's usually a combination of things. A, the guy doesn't have an insulated garage door, which allows a lot of cold in the wintertime, and a lot of heat in the summertime. It's the furthest point away from the furnace, and the furnace can't actually keep up because the thermostat is actually downstairs. And if you crank the thermostat up to get more heat up into the room over the garage, downstairs is a sauna. It's really a hard thing to do, and it all depends on which way the house faces and what condition your windows are in. So there's a lot of different things there. And usually older houses with a room over the garage, they don't even have a cold air return in them, but the newer ones do.
Yeah, so if you, I challenge the homeowner, or not challenge, but I ask them, I say, throw a thermometer in your room. Throw a thermometer in on the bed in that room. I said, and watch your thermostat downstairs. So basically, what temperature is that room when your furnace kicks in, right? And lo and behold, it's probably 3 to 4 degrees colder than what the rest of your house is, okay? What is the temperature of that room when the furnace shuts off, right? It's still 3 or 4 degrees colder. And because it's not insulated properly, it's not air sealed, the temperature is even cooler by the time that furnace kicks on. So it never gets up to temperature. So, you know, there's a bunch of things that need to happen there. One, you know, why is it not getting up to temperature? So the cold air return, like Bruce said, is an issue. The fact that a lot of times there's a big window in there, right? It has three outside walls because it juts out from the rest of the house. There's a lot of variables there, so we may not be the only solution for that. And then the other thing too is, right, it's a comfort issue, and sometimes people like colder rooms, so a bedroom colder room for sleeping, so it's not a big deal. But the floor is really cold, and by just spray foaming it or just insulating it, right, the coldest air is always on the lowest point, and and there's no difference in a bedroom, right? And Jason talked about the fact that it's a garage underneath, right? So if you don't insulate it properly, the heat's going everywhere. So the heat's going in there, it's going into the garage, it's cold, right? It's sucking heat out of the room. But at the same time, if you put a massive amount of insulation underneath it, the coldest air is just lying on the floor too, right? So it's still cold. Mm-hmm. If you have carpet or something that breaks it up, it's a nice feeling. So we have special techniques that we could help with that baffling and trying to keep that space warm. It's definitely a call we get a lot of, but we know what? It's really having the homeowner understand that it's just not the insulation. There's a lot of variables that come into play.
One of the other variables is that people tend to keep their bedroom doors closed, which is not a good idea. Because when you close that bedroom door, you've cut off the circulation of the whole house. Even though there is a cold air return in that room, the bedroom door should remain open, and you'll find a huge difference upstairs just by doing that.
Heat migrates from hot to cold. Okay, if that room's already colder, right, that means the heat is going to that area. But so Bruce is correct. So when you open that door, the heat's going into that room. Okay, and then it'll tend to blend in with the rest of the house, right?
Harmonize,
yes, yeah. Probably a better word.
Okay. 905-645-3221 for any questions you might have. If we haven't talked about the situation that's going on in your house, this is the perfect opportunity to call. Again, 905-645-3221. One of the things that you were talking about in earlier shows, Alex, was that it's really important to close the box of your house and make sure it's all insulated. And I'm thinking one of the other problems, if you have a bedroom over a garage, is that not only is it not insulated underneath, may not be insulated on the top either.
Yeah, and Jason said that right from the get-go. That was his first comment. Biggest bang for your buck is your attic. If you're looking at saving money, very quickly, we started in the attic, try to figure out what's going on there, bulk up the insulation there, but at the same time, make sure that we look at ventilation, because ventilation is definitely key. If you do not ventilate right, it's no sense insulating, because all you're going to do is degrade the attic. And we see that over and over and over, these energy programs that come out. New companies that don't understand ventilation, don't understand the effect of over insulating, under ventilating. They make attics mold central, right? They're full of mold. It endangers the occupants of the home. Mold is not good; gets into your lungs, and a lot of people can't deal with it.
And damages your roofline.
Yeah, well, the secondary, right? I mean, people getting sick in these homes is what should be the first thing, right?
Well, absolutely.
Like the health and occupants of the home are paramount, right? And so, I mean, how many times have we been on site where we go into a mold house and go, damn, I wish I had my respirator on me right now. Mm-hmm. Because, you have the certain smell. You go home, a couple of days later, you're not feeling well. I mean, we all are exposed to that. And that's how bad it is out there. People do not know they're living with this stuff. I mean, I was in a house yesterday in Toronto. And, I was doing it's a house sold for $1.3 million. Figure this out. $1.3 million. House can't be more than 1,500 square feet. Nice spot. And it's old. It's an old house. It's got boards on the roof. There's no plywood roof. And we have mold in this attic, right? What's happened? They've tightened the house down. They've spray foamed some outside walls with some poorly done job. Mice are getting in. The mice is a secondary issue. But what's happened is they've put an upper laundry closet in, right, to do the laundry. But they've discharged the dryer into the attic, right? So I pop my head in there, doing an investigation in the attic and taking a look at it. And, like, I'm looking all over, and there's little specks of mold, like, growing everywhere. It's not terrible, because an old house breathes quite well, right? But there's specks everywhere. And he goes, what do you mean mold? I didn't see any mold. I'm looking up, and there's mold here. And I'm telling you, it's coming right for you, because you got all the lint is all in the attic too, right? It's all blown everywhere. So you know what? We recognize these things, right? We know what's happening in the attic. We're looking for where the bathroom fans are. We're looking for where the dryer's hooked up. We want to make sure it's done right, because you know what? If we don't look for these things, we install insulation, it's going to fail. And right, we don't want the call saying, hey, you did a lousy job. We try to do good work, and we stand behind what we do. And if you don't look for the things that are going to cause a problem, you can't. It's hard to be successful.
Yeah. I'm still kind of stuck on the whole, the dryer was venting into the attic.
Yes,
thing.
The dryer was
moving. Who would so think that's a good idea?
I think I may have taken a picture of it. It was a good one, right? Because it's a talking point, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and I don't get in as many houses as I once did. But when I do, I get takeaways from every situation, right? And you think that you go into a renovation where somebody has sprayed foam in it, right? You think, okay, that's going to be a good reno, right? He spent extra money to spray foam. But you know what? They use the wrong spray foam, first of all, for this, right? Because one spray foam doesn't solve all your issues, right? So if you're getting into a Century Home and you're going to re-insulate the Century Home, you don't use half-pound spray foam, right? You want to stop the moisture from driving into the wall, especially in there, because those older homes have double brick, right? And you don't want that moisture getting into the brick. They don't have a rain screen per se, right? So you want to stop that moisture from driving. Anytime you can use like a 2-pound close cell, like Insulthane Extreme, it's going to be better, right?
He's talking the difference is a closed cell foam versus an open cell foam. Closed cell, water and moisture is not being absorbed into it, where an open cell foam is. Half-pound foam, like Alex said, is an open cell foam. 2-pound is a closed cell. That's what the difference is. We really want to stick with a closed cell.
So, but in that home, yeah, thank you, Jason. The home had a lot of half pound for soundproofing around ductwork and stuff like that. So they were trying to do it okay. But when I got up in the upper floors, right, and you know, if you have air leakage, okay, you have air leakage, right? And this customer couldn't understand why there were so many mice, because I identified. He said, "You got a major mouse problem." I said, "You basically got to rip all your insulation out of the house." So imagine just ripping the spray foam out. There was mice epidemic. Like, and he said, "Well, they did renovation next door, and they might have came over from there." I'm saying, you know what? This place has been spray foamed with half pound foam, which is garbage for outside walls, right? I sound like Donald Trump now. I caught myself there, but.
You haven't said huge, you haven't said bigly, no, so you're still okay.
No, fantastic. It's fantastic.
Massive.
So the house is 3/4 done with the half pump. So now there's when you have air leakage, you have heat escaping. When a mouse is walking by your house and he goes, "Hey, look, there's some heat coming out of that house. I'd like to live there." That's exactly what's happening, right? The smells and the heat attract the mice. If you have a tight house, you're not going to have mice, yeah. Right? That's all there is to it. I mean, you might have mice if you're a slob and there's food everywhere and so on and so forth, right? I'm being very...
You are.
Yes.
And it's the truth.
Yes. And I said that actually I had this interaction with the customer yesterday. It was a contractor. I said, these people were slobs. I literally said it to him. I said, I saw $1,500 taps in the house. I saw $6,000 countertops. I saw floors that hadn't been cleaned in forever, right? And they got a mouse problem. Do you follow me? Poor insulation, yeah. Food laying everywhere, kind of like it was dirty, right? And it was, and $1.3 million, I was beside myself, yeah. Going, wow, you know what? Now all this half-pound foam is going to be taken out. It's got to be redone. I think we're going to redo it, right?
Yeah.
And we'll do it right. And we've got some ventilation issues we got to solve. We're probably going to introduce some maximum ventilators and some ATFs, so like bring in direct vent, because their soffits are all closed. They're bricked up to the top. Yeah. But that's what we do. We identify the problem and we fix it.
But can a house be too tight?
A house can be too tight. Yes, it can be. But there's so many things to overcome too tight, right? Would you like to have control over your house, or do you want it to just do whatever you want it to do, right? So you put a bat of insulation into a wall that probably will contain formaldehyde or something like that. Most people don't know this, but, you know, up to a few years ago, bat insulation was 17% formaldehyde. That's what glues the bat together, right? We're concerned about other
mice homes. Love formaldehyde.
Oh, mice love formaldehyde, right?
They do?
They yes. do. Yes. Mm. That's what attracts mice, right? So
it doesn't kill them.
No, it doesn't. Formaldehyde is a byproduct of pulp and paper. I'm pretty sure that's where the stuff
but,
stems
but
from.
But the smell of it attracts them in?
Yes.
Okay.
They love fiberglass. They burrow in it like crazy, right? They don't like Roxul as much. Well, this house yesterday had Roxul in the ceilings, and the mice were even burrowing in that. That means that there's a lot of mice because they really don't like burrowing in this stuff too much. And even the spray foam that was suspended wasn't too bad, but the stuff in the joist ends was terrible. There's mice penetrating through everywhere. I don't know where I lost my train of thought there a little bit. But
Let me backtrack then, because you were talking earlier about mold and what a serious concern that is, and it is. But a mouse problem is something that might get a homeowner's attention.
It's also
faster.
Very unhealthy for the homeowner. Mouse poop and mouse feces and mouse urine are toxic. So
if you have fiberglass in your attic, probably 70% of the attics have mice in them. Of a house,
I might even think 70%.
70 minimum.
Minimum 70%.
Yeah, the old fiberglass.
The old
right?
fiberglass, yes.
We spend our days crawling through attics and looking in attics every day. And every day, if you see fiberglass, you know you're seeing mice poop everywhere. It's
especially when it's on top of the hatch.
Every time you lift the hatch up, turn it over, it all falls down.
Yes, you know what? So the reason is because the attic hatches are poorly insulated. So all your focus is all the heat's going up that attic hatch, right?
Yeah,
so it's nice and warm.
There.
It's like
it's a spa for mice, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it is for sure. they rest on the raccoons. Another one, right? Oh, the lid's a little heavy. There's a raccoon lying on top of it, right? It's amazing what we see out there, right? Yeah. But that's what we do, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that might be one of the indicators that will get people to call you is not so much the mold, but the infestation.
Infestation of bats and mice, for sure. And squirrels.
Or raccoons. Even raccoons.
Any animal that goes in your attic, you definitely want to have your insulation removed. I wouldn't, for life safety reasons,
well,
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got
removed, disinfected,
yes.
And then reinstalled. And if you want to do it right, put your spray foam down first and put cellulose on top.
It's not just getting rid of the pest. It's getting rid of everything the pest left behind.
That's correct.
That left behind, what do they do to your wires? Right?
Mice, squirrels especially.
Squirrels on wires and mice on wires. There's some sweet whatever is in the wires, right? The coating on them, right? They like chewing it. There's no nutritional value, but for some reason they chew it. And then they expose the wires. And then they, you know what? Once the wires are disturbed, they cross over. And then if they don't arc, if they don't arc and cause a fault, your breaker doesn't trip, but they heat up. And when they heat up, they next to the wood, next thing you have a fire. So now it's a life safety issue.
When we have an attic that we remove old insulation from, we always put on our work orders to inspect the attic for electrical issues, because more likely than not, there is one or two. And we're not just going to come in, remove, and put back or spray foam.
Wish you luck with that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, just in good conscience, you have to tell them that there's this potential hazard.
Yes.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Because guess who's going to get blamed in the future? We are.
Why didn't
you tell me?
It's the right thing to do.
What's the right thing to do? Yeah. We want to be here 20 years from now. We're still in business. We're 25 years already in business, right? We're not going anywhere. We're not a fly-by-night company, and we will tell you what's wrong because our reputation depends on it.
And we stand behind our work.
And we're going to take a short break on AM 900 CHML. That gives you a chance to get to the phone lines, 905-645-3221. We'll be right back with Alex Schutz and everybody else who works at Insta Insulation as well on the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. You're listening to the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. It is brought to you by Insta Insulation. We have Alex Schutz, we have Bruce Jackson, Trevor McPhee, and Jason Sweeney in with us. We are talking about how you can make your home not just more comfortable, but doing it in the smartest way possible. Part of our discussion, and actually it was really interesting during the break, so I want to bring that conversation on air. You guys were talking about water lines.
Yes,
and especially the insulation problem they can be.
Yes, everybody thinks that if you just insulate a water line that it won't freeze. Well, that's entirely wrong, especially in a room over a garage where the plumber has left a huge gap between the floor and the water line. You actually have to have an air pocket around that water line. And so what we have to do typically is we wrap it with a little bit of cardboard or build a box around it so that it's in that space, and then do the outside so any heat that escapes from upstairs keeps that box warm. Just wrapping it in insulation is not the fix.
So, Bruce, just to kind of put it into layman's terms, kind of the same theory behind having lots of layers of clothing in the winter, you need a little bit of air in between those layers in order to trap the heat. Is that correct?
Well, it's yes, in some way, but really
that's
what
not, that's
it's like
the most
water
confident
line.
Yes I've ever heard
it's
from
like
you.
Taking the water line and putting it under your clothes so it's next to the heat source. We want to trap it inside the warm zone instead of leaving it on the outside of
the envelope. It's trying to keep it in the envelope. And if your layers are the envelope, you keep them on the inside, right? Where's the weak link in your envelope in your body, right? Your face, typically, right in your hands. You put gloves on, put a hat on your head, your face is exposed. That's where the heat's going, right? Heat's escaping out of your body, but what's going with the heat? The moisture, right? That's exactly the same way as your house, right? The heat is escaping, the moisture is going with it, the moisture condenses on the outer surfaces, gets all wet, get mold, right?
Yeah.
Get sick, go to the hospital, cost you money.
Yeah. So when your pipes freeze during the winter, insulation is something you should be thinking about.
Well, you really think about trapping those pipes, right? Trapping the pipes inside your building envelope. So like in a crawl space, for example, if your pipes are in the crawl space and the floor is insulating your crawl space, now the floor, right, the pipes are below the floor, the heat can't get at those pipes anymore. The proper way to do that crawl space would be to insulate the outside walls, potentially insulate the ground, make it a warm space so that all the mechanicals that are running through there are warm.
And the floor will become warmer as well.
Yeah, the floor is warmer as well. You insulate a floor, right? The coldest air is lying on top of the insulation, right? It doesn't create comfort. The comfort is trying to harmonize the temperature above and below. That'll create a warmer floor.
We're talking to members of the sales team for Insta Insulation. The gentleman who will show up on your doorstep, knock on the door, and do an inspection. We touched on that a little bit off the top of the show about what goes on when you go in and you do that inspection and you assess the house. Is there anything you need from the homeowner?
Well, access to the areas that we need to see. Maybe a good knowledge of what they're paying for heating costs and things like that, so we can assess if it's over the amount of normal and things like that. If I can go back a couple of months on payments, then I will know if it's costing them increasingly amounts.
Yeah,
we always ask what your energy costs are now, so we can have some sort of idea whether they're paying a high cost, and then we can tell them that, yes, you'll reduce your energy costs by 25%, you know, that sort of thing.
A lot of the time, it's not the $30 you're going to save on your bill. It's the comfort level of your house. If you're more comfortable, you're going to be happy. It's not $30 at the end of the month for most people.
Alex, what are the most common reasons that people pick up the phone and call Insta Insulation? As we've been talking about comfort level, your feet might be cold. You got a cold spot in your house.
So the biggest one is there's definitely a need. So you know, a subset of our business is going to be newer construction. I'm putting an addition on. I want to finish my basement. I want to make some more living space in my attic, right? Expansion of your home. Then it's going to be a comfort, right? And then it's energy savings. So that's probably the way it works, right? Maybe the top two would invert a little bit here and there. But the energy savings point is usually the last one. But with the cap and trade and carbon tax and you know what, with the escalation of our gas and our electricity, we're definitely going to see more people start to investigate what the energy savings are. We try to wrap my head around trying to increase the awareness of the consumer to understand that insulation is a better investment vehicle than, you know, your average investment that you can make, right? You can buy some stock and whatever in some company or investment in GICs or whatever, you're not going to the return on insulation is very quick, right? Just a quick analogy or a quick example of a new home. A new home costs, you know, 2.5 times typically, depending how much spray foam, cathedral ceilings and stuff like that there is, 2.5 times with spray foam and a properly insulated floor, about 2.5 times the price of a bat house, like a fiberglass bat, cheap to code house. That payback is between 4 and 5 years. So if you're spending 5 as opposed to, you know, what was that, 2.5 times, so it's $1,250, right? There's $7,500 difference there. You're going to save that money in about 5 years. Like, where do you invest that kind of money and get that kind of return?
Exactly.
Well, it's even quicker if the house was going to be done with Roxel, right? Because the cost of Roxel skyrocketed.
Oh, that's a good point, Bruce. Very good point. I mean, there is Roxel insulation you could buy. And, yeah, Roxel is a little bit better than fiberglass. But, again, it doesn't fit tight. There's air leakage through there, right? It doesn't – it's not near – so the difference is it even pays back quicker is what Bruce is saying.
Yeah.
It's
We have to take another break. We'll be right back. We only have a few minutes left in the show. If you have any questions, this is the time to get to the phones. 905-645-3221. Be right back on the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. You're listening to the Smart Comfort Show on AM 900 CHML. It is brought to you by Insta Insulation. Alex Schutz is the man behind the company. He's also brought in some of his crack sales team. Bruce Jackson is here, Trevor McPhee, and Jason Sweeney. In the break, you guys were talking about kind of an interesting saying that you have, and that is ventilation before insulation, but it's Insta Insulation. You would think that insulation would be the key thing. Okay, now you're looking at each other. Somebody
okay,
has
so
to talk.
Ventilation is definitely important. The more insulation you put in, you got to make sure you have the right ventilation to cover it.
So we're talking attics, right?
Talking attic space, yeah.
A lot of times people ask, well, why did my attic work like this for 50 years? Now you're telling me we have to put ventilation in here. I said, well, your house was built, designed not to have any, but you only had 3 inches of insulation. The more insulation you add in, the less air volume you have, means more moisture, means you need ventilation coming into your attic to circulate to clean up the moisture.
So not all attic decks are tight, right? So the heat moves from hot to cold. The hot air is rising.
Hot air rises.
Heat moves from hot to cold, so it's moving in every single direction. The heat, but a lot of the hottest point is up top. So you're going to have your greatest the delta, right, between the attic and the top of your ceiling. So you have a lot of air leakage potentially going through your walls and ending up in through light fixtures and stuff like that. So you have moisture in the attic. So when we have to ventilate to make sure that moisture gets drawn out of the house. Ventilation codes haven't increased in Ontario for, I think, 40 years. I think they've been the same. And
with the new code, they still didn't increase.
They still didn't increase.
We got to go up to R60 now.
Yeah.
In an attic, and nothing done about ventilation, so, which is good for us.
Yeah. So the problem, the R60 is not a problem in the middle. It's a problem on the outside, but near the walls, on the top plates. You can't get R60 there. So again, the delta between the middle of the attic and the outside of the attic is greater, right? Which causes moisture issues on the outside, and therefore you need to ventilate and you need to insulate with better products like spray foam, spray foaming attic decks, spray foaming in the soffit areas, and to try to increase the effective R value. And effective R value means, you know what, the actual R value that's installed. Bad insulation, and Bruce touched on this on the break. He said, you know, like a bat of insulation is tested in a lab as it comes off the line, right? It's never been squished down, compressed, put in by an installer, gets paid piecework. It's, you know, everything, it's got everything going that's wrong for it. Plus, it's an open cell insulation, right? It doesn't have a fighting chance against air moving through it. We know air moves through it because in order to get more R value, put more and thicker and thicker and thicker. By the time you get any effective R value, your walls are going to be too big and it doesn't make any sense. Spray foam, you need a little bit. It functions very, very well. Another something we talked in the break was, you know what? It's like a furnace filter, right? That's what we used for, you know, fibers is what we used to filter the air going in and out of the house. What does it make any sense that we put filters in our walls to, you know, that's what we
and,
see.
And think that it makes it warmer and comfy and toasty.
And the other thing, too, is you can change your furnace filter, but you can't change the filter in your wall.
Yeah, that's
and you have to change that to something more a more permanent solution. But from what you were saying earlier as well, it's not just air that moves through there. Little animals will move through there too.
Oh yeah, mice. You know, if you have air leakage, then you have a good chance. A lot of air leakage, then a good chance that mice are smelling what's in your home. They like the tasty treats that the mom's cooking or dad's cooking.
And it's warmer inside than it is outside.
And they're coming in. So I mean, I always look at air leakage as two things. One, it's, you know, there's a cost to having air escaping from your home. There's comfort that you get mice, and the other thing is fire safety. Right, the tighter the home, the safer it is. Your house is safer with fire as well. And that's not something we talk about on a regular basis. I truly believe that eventually every home will be tested for air tightness. And I think if you have a fire and you're not home, and thank goodness you're not home, that fire, if a house built properly, you could literally, fires could be extinguished through air tightness, right? That it's not breathing too much, and that you're, you know, because a fire needs a lot of oxygen.
It needs three components, right? Yep. Oxygen is one of them.
Yep.
Without that, no fire.
No fire. So, yeah. You know, a tight house is a safe house.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I'm going to take away from this program is if you have, fiberglass insulation in your attic, chances are 70% chance that
at
you've
least,
got...
At least.
Minimum.
70% minimum chance you've got mice or some other critter.
You've had mice at one time or other.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because some people get rid of their mice and you see remnants. But
does depend on the age of the home.
Yeah.
But yeah, 70%.
Very rarely will you. Yeah, exactly. If you got a house that's 10 years or older, you're probably going to have mice in that attic, because a lot of the fiberglass you start using formaldehyde as well. But mice, for some reason or other reason than maybe formaldehyde, mice tend to burrow in the stuff, right? Yeah. They don't burrow in Roxel as much. They don't burrow in the spray foam as much. They don't burrow in their cellulose.
They don't touch cellulose.
No, it burns their eyes.
Yeah,
is that what it does?
Yeah.
And from what you were saying earlier, even if you get rid of the mice, but you don't get rid of the insulation, you have all of the stuff that they left behind, and it's all toxic.
That's why when we do a removal, we have another option of a disinfectant. So that way you get rid of the odors and the smells that they've left behind, and it stops the attraction of them coming back.
And odors aren't just unpleasant. There's more to it than that. There's a reason why it's unpleasant, and that's because
Absolutely.
It's not healthy for you. This hour went by so quickly, and again, I'm going to take with me that if you've got fiberglass in your attic, you probably had critters at some point as well. We're going to be back with the next edition of the Smart Comfort Show on February the 25th at 11 o'clock on AM 900 CHML. The Smart Comfort Show is brought to you by Insta Insulation, and you can get in touch with them. They've got a great website, instainsulation.com. The phone number, 905-383-5686 or 1-800-668-0311. And we'll talk to you again on February 25th at 11 o'clock on AM 900 CHML.